I would like to just observe from the where we're at so far in our discussion to sort of kind of bring us along, because I think this links us with what we had yesterday and didn't get to talk about too much, which is the fact that Paul asked someone else to help in a situation. He said, you also, true yoke fellow. Some translations actually translate that word as his name, yoke fellow. Maybe it was his name, or maybe it was just an unnamed co-worker of Paul. But in any case, you please help those women. And what we want to talk about is not only the fact that God values peace, but also that, as we already had in Matthew 5, there is such a thing as a peacemaker. In James chapter 3, there is such a thing as those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. It's planted in peace, righteousness and peace together again, by those who make peace. And the question that's been proposed, I think, is on this line. So just to bring us along to that point, and to also, just by the way, encourage this sort of participation. There are, you know, less than 15 brothers, let's say, who've had a chance to take part, or who have taken part verbally, and there are many, many who either don't want to take part or who aren't taking part for whatever reason. Please write things down and share them today if there's something that is really needs to be addressed. I'd like to really encourage that. I'll just add one more piece to what has been, one more part to what has been discussed, and that is that when we see what we think is a seed of concern in someone else, Tim has talked about prayer, very important, essential. Also, before anyone would be a help to that person, there's going to be a there needs to be a relationship with that person first. So that before, if I see, I'll say Tim, if I see in Tim something that, you know, just kind of troubles me, and I don't really know him, you know, he's somebody, let's say we, you know, we sit in the breaking of bread together, but he's not one of the people I talk to a lot, but I see an element that seems to trouble me or concern me down the road, I better start just talking to Tim and saying, so how's the family, you know, what are you doing this weekend? And have a real relationship. There won't be a way to help if my first conversation is, you know, I see something that troubles me. He's not going to have any reason.
I see it every day when I look in the mirror.
Can we say where there's peace, there's love? Like we were talking about war. There's no love in war. And also we saw that there was jealousness. And if we look in 1 Corinthians 13, it's all the love. It starts at verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not have rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So I think that's a big reflection there. Like we've been talking about everything, and yeah, I've been seeing love. If there's love in everything, and we can really, it will help. And with a brother too, if we have to take a brother back, well, make sure it's through love and not hatred.
I think what's also very important, if we have that relationship then, and the approach is done, that the one that is approached, that he should not think that the one that is approaching him simply thought, well, today I could approach and I could criticize something. But we don't know how long the one that is approaching us maybe was in prayer about that. Maybe it was in prayer over half a year or a whole year, and we don't know that. And so if somebody is approaching us, we simply we could just assume that he has really prayed about it and yes, take it as that.
I'd like to just add one more thing to what's being said. Not only pray for the brother, but I would suggest one other thing. And that is that a few years ago, somebody came to me and said, how do you recommend that I get along with so-and-so? I have to work very closely with them. This was, I hope I don't shock anybody. This is two missionaries on the mission field. And you've worked with that person. How do I get along with that person? And I said, you know what? The best thing I can tell you is pray with that person. Hmm. Get on your knees and pray with that person. Because what happens, and this is such a beautiful lesson, what happens is when I start praying with someone, it's a window into their heart. Hmm. When we talk about love, it's a window into their heart. And I see that this person genuinely loves the Lord. It may come out wrong, or I might be interpreting it wrong, but they really do love the Lord. And it helps change my perspective. So I want to just encourage us that not only pray for them, but to pray with them. And I asked that person a couple of years later, I said, well, how's it going with so-and-so? And he said, man, it's going great. And I said, did you ever address the problem? Nope, never addressed the problem. I did what you said. We prayed. And we start praying together, and we have no more problems.
I'd like to add in a very practical sense just how true what our brother Tim says. I've experienced it, you know, personally, where you have an issue with a person, and the minute that you pray together about the situation, when you said a window into their heart, it changes everything. Because not only do you get to hear their perspective, but you get to understand that it troubles them as well, and that you're coming to your Father, as it were, to help to bridge the gap. And when you, it's very personal, it's a very intimate thing to pray with a person. It's hard after having said amen to still have that struggle, that strife in your heart against this person who you just went to the creator of the universe with. And so I just went in a very practical sense. That's very, very true. And I think maybe it would help us as well to turn to Romans chapter 12. Our brother was talking about love. Romans chapter 12. So in Romans, as we're very familiar, the Apostle Paul is talking about justification, you know, and the consequences of such for the first 11 chapters. And in chapter 12, we see the therefore, and basically how all of those truths should be evident in our lives. And in verse 9 to 16, he talks about, you know, how all of those truths should impact our relationship with those within the household of faith. And then 17 to 21, how all of those truths should impact our lives of those who are outside the household of faith. So maybe if I could just read those verses pretty quickly, maybe we can have a discussion about them. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And then I'm moving to those outside of the household of faith. Verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.